It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. A lot has happened in Illinois since the last time we talked politics on a Friday. Under the circumstances, we're going to spend our entire politics review this week on state news. Barring any major developments, we expect to talk with our Washington correspondent, Linda Kenyon, next week. Let's begin in Springfield, where legislators are just weeks away from the end of their spring session and the deadline to pass a state budget with a simple majority. But uncertainty in Washington means the process is likely to go well beyond the scheduled end of session on May 31st. Here to talk about that is Jeremy Gorner, who covers Illinois state government for the Chicago Tribune. Jeremy, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Brian.
All right, this was already going to be a tight year for the budget as it was. And that was when President Trump's second administration was just getting started. We didn't know the half. How are national politics affecting the Illinois budget picture now?
Well, I mean, there's obviously a lot of volatility in the national economy, Brian, and this is compounded by the fact that the governor's Office of Management and Budget had warned even prior to Trump's election that the five-year outlook would be challenging for Illinois already to begin with. I mean, let's start last year, Brian, where the Illinois legislature needed three tries to pass a budget package for tax hikes. Much of it tailored to the gaming industry, hundreds of millions of dollars in tax hikes to pass, a key component of the budget. And this was last year. Keep in mind, Joe Biden was president. Now, Illinois is continuing with some of its fiscal challenges, absent of any kind of action from the federal government. But now that you have a president like Donald Trump in the White House, who is an ardent opponent of Governor Pritzker, there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, we don't know with this budget proposal going through Congress, with all the cuts that are promised, how it's going to affect Medicaid, how it's going to affect other essential services that are provided by the federal government for Illinoisans. We don't know that. And there's so much uncertainty that House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch here in Illinois last week basically said that he's told his members, don't be surprised if we pass a budget at the end of May and then have to come back at some point, which would, clearly be in the summer if this were to happen, and make some fixes, in light of all the uncertainty happening with the Trump tariffs, the threats to cutting federal funding in innumerable areas. And who knows if he could make Illinois a target, because of that, tense relationship that the President Trump, that is, with Governor Pritzker. I think it's anybody's guess right now. So I think the fact that Illinois has already had some fiscal issues it's had to come to terms to in recent years, this federal funding uncertainty or lack thereof only compounds it.
It led to this extraordinary episode this week in Springfield where Speaker of the House Chris Welch took the really extraordinary step of expelling a member of the Democratic caucus.
Sure.
You had a story about this, Representative Fred Crespo of Hoffman Estates. Yeah. I mean, this too is part of the state budget story, right? What happened there?
Yep. Well, so you have State Representative Fred Crespo. He's been in the General Assembly since 2007. He's a moderate Democrat, and he's very well respected. He's really, one of his big issues is fiscal responsibility. He was one of the Democrats that voted against tax hikes that were part of last year's budget package, or the current budget that we're in right now. And basically, since last year, he's tried to come up with his own plan to balance the budget or to help balance the budget, which I know that we have very limited time to get into what those details are. Obviously, it deals with withholding state funds that don't necessarily that don't jeopardize Medicaid or consent decrees, whatever obligations Illinois
has. It would have been more austere. We can shorthand it and say it would have been a much tighter budget.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And, you know, but basically the big issue that Speaker Welch has is that he felt that Crespo was not being collaborative in whatever, you know, proposal he was working on. I mean, he's been kind of, Crespo, I guess, is someone who goes against the grain on fiscal issues compared to, you know, his fellow Democrats in the caucus. And, you know, so this has been, you know, obviously, and he's been that way for a long time. I mean, that's just been one of his big issues. But basically, Chris Welch didn't think that Crespo was being collaborative enough. They also tried, you know, his office also tried to say that Crespo, who is head of this Appropriations Committee for General Services, which oversees budget requests for the constitutional offices, for example, he didn't complete certain tasks that other chairs of Appropriations Committees completed. So, you know, basically he was accused of not being a team player, stuff that, you know, allegations that, you know, Crespo denies. But basically it just, you know, Welch was upset that Crespo was going against the grain in a very tense budget process for Democrats this year. I mean, I think if the bigger picture, Brian, what his ouster in these chairmanship positions means is that it just kind of speaks, it's just another added layer of the behind the scenes tensions that are going on, you know, with 2 weeks left, you know, before the scheduled legislative adjournment, you know, to try to pass a balanced budget.
Yeah. And for all the talk of how, you know, Speaker Madigan was the velvet hammer, I don't know what kind of hammer Speaker Welch is, but it is a hammer. And maybe that's a conversation for another day. I want to play one piece of tape. And this is from Governor Pritzker's budget address back in February.
If you come to the table looking to spend more, I'm going to ask you where you want to cut. I have made difficult decisions, including to programs that I have championed, which is hard for me, just as I know some of the difficult decisions you will have to make will be hard for you.
All right, Jeremy, that's how it started. How's it going? Do you get the sense Democrats are making those difficult decisions?
Well, I know like a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, the governor was asked that very question, you know, like have Democrats or have people come up to you, you know, making suggestions on what they want to add and where to cut. And, you know, he said that there were no indications of that. I mean, I don't know what's happened in the last month or so, but, you know, what we've heard from Republicans who are part of the, you know, of the budget process. I know Representative Amy Ellick, who's from the Metro East area, was saying that, you know, she was on the same Appropriations Committee as Fred Crespo. And she was saying, she was telling reporters, I want to say on May 1st, that she has seen no evidence of sufficient cuts during these appropriations hearings. So it kind of remains to be seen. You know, I mean, I think once the final product comes out in the next 2 weeks, we'll probably get a better sense of that. You know, one of the things I've been told, you know, that's been suggested to me is that the legislative leaders are very resistant to raising any kind of taxes. You know, whether it's a sin tax, meaning like anything on gambling or services like that, the taxes on working families, which I know Deputy Governor Andy Menar has said that Governor Pritzker's proposal avoids that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it makes you think how desperate in Illinois are these lawmakers? You know, either they'll have to raise taxes or they might have to borrow money, which could adversely impact their credit rating. So I think it's anybody's guess right now, unless you're part of those behind the scenes conversations about how this is all going to play out in the next few weeks. I still think it's still, even the folks behind the scenes are still trying to figure that out.
All right. Well, Jeremy Gorner, we know you will be there to cover it with the Chicago Tribune. Thank you for sharing your reporting with us. Have a great weekend.
You too, Brian. Thank you for having me.
This is the 21st show. We are going to continue our weekly look at politics now by noting that we are 10 months away from the 2026 primary elections in Illinois, and a lot of dominoes are being lined up right now. Nevertheless, in the past couple of weeks, several more candidates put their hat in the ring, so to speak, to run for higher office in Washington. At the same time, there are politicians who are stepping down, or at least not running for re-election. United States Representative Jan Schakowsky of the 9th District, who's in the midst of her 14th term in Congress, and of course, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. With me to talk about this is Heather Sharone, political reporter for the Chicago PBS station WTTW. Heather, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's talk about Representative Schakowsky. I know we were going to talk about this last week. It happened then, but then, you know, we had a Chicago Pope and all, everything was out the window. So thank you for being flexible with that. But what did she have to say about why she's not running?
Well, you know, she announced her plans not to seek what would have been her 15th term in Congress at a giant luncheon that she has held every year for the past two decades to showcase other women in leadership. And, you know, she just sort of said it was time for her to start a new chapter. She said she looked forward to spending more time with her family and her grandchildren, and also returning to her roots as sort of a community organizer. She's somebody who got her start working on issues just as a regular member of the Evanston community. And she said that after she serves the last 18 months of what will be nearly 25 years in office, she says that's what she'll do. But there wasn't a whole lot of specifics about why now, although it's clear that post this 2024 election, it has become untenable for Democrats in particularly to stay in office much past their 80th birthday.
Interesting. Well, let's put a pin in that for a second. Just talk a little bit. What is Schakowsky's legacy? What will people still be talking about her for in you know, years and decades to come?
Well, you know, I think that she will be remembered as one of sort of the first women to be elected to Congress and to take sort of a major role in crafting legislation. She opposed the Iraq War. She worked for universal health care and helped ensure that what would become known as Obamacare passed. She has also sort of worked tirelessly on behalf of consumers. And she has really been an advocate for women in politics. She was a close ally of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and she will be remembered as somebody who dealt Governor J.B. Pritzker his first electoral defeat. And she was one of the first, you know, politicians on the national stage to really recognize Barack Obama as the generational political talent that he would be. And, you know, he has said that he owes his national political career in no part to Schakowsky. And that, I think, is going to be part of her legacy once she finally does step down.
Yeah, no small part to Schakowsky. That's interesting. I had forgotten about Pritzker and his electoral defeat. I'm glad you brought that out. Always good to remember that these are human beings who have not always been masters of the universe. All right, you alluded to this earlier. We only have a few minutes left, but Schakowsky, 80 years old, Dick Durbin, you know, maybe there's after what happened with Joe Biden, Dianne Feinstein, Democratic politicians are seeing the writing on the wall. We've already seen sort of a scramble of people even before she had announced, but certainly after. Talk about who is lining up to try to succeed her.
Well, yesterday came the news that Evanston Mayor Daniel Biss will run for Congress about a month after being reelected to a second term as mayor. He joins what is sure to be a crowded race that already includes State Senator Laura Fine and progressive media star Kat Abu-Ghazaleh. She was the first person to jump into the 9th district race, and she doesn't live in the district and has lived in Chicago for less than a year. So it'll be interesting to see how she does. But there's no doubt that Daniel Biss is going to give her a run for her money. He announced today that in the first 24 hours after announcing his campaign, he had already raised $350,000. $1,000. Now, we can't verify that because he doesn't have to file the forms for another couple of months, but that's a clear sign that he will have enough money to compete with Kat Abu-Ghazaleh, who also raised a massive amount of money, much of it from outside the 9th District.
I think we're both old enough to remember when Daniel Biss was sort of the progressive darling in the gubernatorial primary.
Yes, we do.
Well, that's going to be an interesting race to watch. Another one, obviously, that is going to suck up a lot of the attention, just a couple minutes left, are the many, many people lining up to succeed Dick Durbin and the vacancies that those people may be creating by committing to that race. Can you just talk briefly about what that's shaping up to be?
Yes, right now, Illinois politics is a giant game of dominoes. So with Dick Durbin's announcement that he wouldn't run for another term in the Senate, we have Representative Robin Kelly running for the Senate, which means that her second district seat is now open. There have been a number of people announced for that race, including State Senator Robert Peters. And then, of course, you know, with Raja Krishnamoorthy running for Senate as well, that leaves his seat open. And that has set off a scramble for that race, including Kevin Morrison, the first LGBTQ Cook County commissioner. He's also running. And whoever wins these races, that means that there will be other open seats and more people to look to move up. So we're really entering a new era of state and local politics, whatever the results of the 2026 midterms actually are.
And briefly, just there are some big names who have said they're not getting into these races, too. And I don't know if they have, you know, other potential opportunities to move up down the line. You know, there may be a gubernatorial opening in the next five to years or so, or a Chicago mayor. But I don't know if you can just speak briefly to that.
Well, so, you know, that's the issue. Everybody's really waiting to see sort of the last piece of the puzzle, which is, of course, Governor J.B. Pritzker's decision whether he will run for a third term in office. The scramble that we've seen after Durbin's announcement and after Schakowsky's announcement will pale in comparison to the scramble he will set off if he announces that he is not going to run for a third term and instead focus on what many people expect him to do, whatever he decides about running for re-election as governor. And that's to run for president in 2028. So a lot of people, if they're not interested in serving in Congress, are waiting to see what Pritzker is going to do. And that includes somebody I used to cover pretty extensively, former Chicago mayor, Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel. All right. Well, Heather Sharon, thank you so much for sharing your dance card with us here on the 21st show. More to come after a break. Stay with us.